How amazing is it that we are exactly where we are meant to be in this very moment? Each and every one of us. It's a beautiful thing. Welcome back, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Beyond Coincidence. My name's Taylor. I'll be your guide throughout this journey, as always, joined by my co-host, Chris. Grateful to come together to really amplify our collective message of global healing through love, gratitude, and most importantly, acceptance without exception. Now, today's a very special day for us here at Beyond Coincidence. We are joined by a good friend of the show, best-selling author, motivational speaker, Johnny Blackburn. Johnny, thank you so much for joining us today. Happy Friday, everyone. Definitely weekend vibes up in here. Want to keep this flow and positive energy really going throughout the episode. Excited to really share, learn, and connect with each and every one of you. So again, Johnny, beyond grateful for you. Thank you for joining us in our virtual studio here at Beyond Coincidence. Let's get rolling.
Thanks for having me, Chris and Taylor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, you know, I know 2020, a lot of people are assessing this year, evaluating this year, stressing about this year as doom and gloom. But here Beyond Coincidence, we like to really flip it and really accept this time as a blessing in disguise, a beautiful opportunity to go inside as we are forced to go inside and simplify and elevate life. How's life in your world right now, John?
It may not be a coincidence that all of this is happening in the year 2020.
Absolutely.
Which we associate with clarity of vision.
Absolutely. It's not by chance. And I like to say, you know, we truly create our own reality based in thought, repeated thought becoming belief. And when properly aligned, mind, body, soul, brain, heart, spirit, when you believe something, it'll truly take shape and create your reality. We literally project, hallucinate our own individual realities. I like to say 8 billion realities, all transpiring simultaneously, more interconnected than ever before. So that being said, I truly believe the mindset that I have, when I rise every morning, I rise with the sun, and we create our own reality. We create our own heaven on earth here at Beyond Coincidence. And I personally believe that hell is simply negative thinking, negative thought patterns, and self-sabotage, self-doubt, right? Ego on the other side of the spectrum. We're all in this together.
There was a lot of wisdom that came through, and I would love to speak to that. Yes, it does appear that we have individual capacities to manifest. And then there's this incredible beauty and complexity by which the individuals are part of a seamless collective. And so there is a collective consciousness. And it seems like all of us are part and participants in an evolutionary process. And I try to I like to look at things in a developmental context, and I like to look at things in terms of skills and capacities to be embodied. Maybe we can relate when we were younger, like there's a sort of default living in kind of an unconsciousness. And there tends to be a sensing something more. This can be disorienting as we're sort of having to let go of previous ways of being.
So Johnny, I know that we are really all collectively going through some growing pains, right? A positive way to look at it is we are forced to go inside, to reflect, to what I like to say, the basketball analogy, jump, stop, and pivot. And it is vitally important that we as individuals adapt, not only to our immediate personal surroundings, but also up against the more macro backdrop of the global circumstances that we find ourselves in today here in 2020. So that being said, I know that we've all been through our own personal trials and tribulations, and we've all overcome different adversities throughout our lifetime. Right? I like to say 8 billion separate realities all transpiring simultaneously, more interconnected than ever before, not by chance. So that being said, we can talk about the past, but I want to talk about here and now. Johnny, what's been the biggest challenge for you here in 2020 personally? And how have you taken actionable steps to not suppress it, but address it and overcome any challenge that you've been faced with today?
Great question. This isn't my first quarantine. In my young 20s, I had a serious injury, failed surgery that they no longer do. They've kind of banned it because it really was devastating. And I've read that other people have had a similar experience. Couldn't even stand up for 5 minutes, 22 hours a day on the floor, couldn't even lay in a bed. So had everything taken away, basically. And so it took me, like I stayed at home basically for a year. And so that was like my first quarantine. And I went through 3 days of woe is me, why did this happen? And then I just contacted some part of me that said, you know, I'm going to make the best of this. And I don't know exactly why it's happening, but I'm going to take full responsibility for my circumstances and like just a little bit better, a little bit brighter, and little by little healed myself and rebuilt my whole life. It was 4 years all in all, like 2 years kind of waiting for drugs and surgery to fix me, and then 2 years taking full responsibility for my health. So to be honest, I've actually been really thriving this year. You know, I've continued to do a lot. That was almost 20 years ago. I've continued to do a lot of healing. And then, you know, for the last decade, I have a master's in psychology, of a degree, 2 year degree into coaching. So I've really been like showing up, and there's a lot of people that are going through transformations and struggles. And so I've had more clients in the last couple of months than ever before in the last 10 years. So I really feel like I've been preparing for this, and now is the time for me. Like there's so much positive energy that's animating me, and it's to be in service. I was really making the best of this quarantine the first few months of spiritual practice, meditation, breath, and qigong. And I just had so much inspired energy. And I ended up writing a second and publishing a second book, 85% of it that was written in the 3 months of the quarantine. So there's been a lot kind of streaming down and then kind of using that for good.
So Johnny, you talk about how you're involved in service and you're really passionate about service and giving back and helping others pull up out of those struggles and recognize those struggles. How much of that willingness and heart that you have today has played a role because of that, of which has happened to you in the past?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. It really, you know, it was really humbling and really changed the course of my life. I think, well, you know, I certainly had my fun in college and when I was younger, but I think it forced me to really mature and grow up a lot faster. And, you know, there were times and some of my friends doubted whether I would even ever get better. And so there was a certain point in there where I would have made a vow that if I ever get better, like I want to use my life for good. Running for the first time again in 4 years, like I was like in the park and it was like almost heard like Chariots of Fire music in the background, you know? And I got down music on the ground and just cried in gratitude, man. Wow. And then I sort of like, just kind of celebrated and enjoyed that for a couple of weeks. And I remember one night kind of praying, asking like, okay, universe, like, thank you so much for all that I learned during that phase. Now I'm ready to be of service. And literally 3 days later, I got a phone call that was like an offer. I had originally been a management consultant, and that was an offer to help turn an integrative convalescent home, a senior living home, into an integrative health center. And so like from that day, it was like the last, you know, years have just been mission by mission. I would say though, it continued to be a progressive process. Like there were times when I was younger and was like, okay, I'm ready, like put me in, coach, I'm ready to play, you know? And the message that I always keep getting is like, keep cultivating, keep healing, keep practicing. And there was a really beautiful kind of apprenticeship process with the universe.
One more question, kind of more attached to, you know, your challenge in that part of the process, that in which you overcame it, that mindset that there's no turning back. I mean, you were talking about surgeries and medication, and we all know about addiction, and we know what surgery does to the body.
Yeah.
To the extent of your injury, I'm not quite sure, but at the same time, most people kind of throw in the towel. Most people are like,
right,
rehab, drugs, right, you know, get overwhelmed, just like anybody and anything. So what was it in your mindset that went off? What was it that was like, I think I want to get back out there on the field? What was that?
So I want to speak to something else that I think will be relevant. Like there's a lot of talk of like empaths and then the healers, like the business coaches get the marketing of like, are you a sensitive empath? And it's like, I mean, I definitely went through that phase, but we got to remember, like, that's not the ultimate goal. I really work a lot with somatics and embodiment and presence. And the more grounded I am, and the more I'm really strongly in my center axis and the way that I can use my breath, really using my breath to modulate intensity, the way that I'm not ruffled by things that are happening in the external. And so I can really still deeply feel those things, but it's sort of like an anti-fragility, like that there's really a strength and a groundedness in the center and the ground. And so I think that those experiences were part of my training that really helped me to be more resilient and like not be knocked off so easily.
I love that answer. Obviously, you know, we're covering a lot of different topics, but that's a beautiful thing. And you're exactly right. Again, we are all forced to go inside. So it feels like every used car salesman's coming off the street, jumping online, trying to sell a book, trying to sell a membership, trying to sell this and that. And it's so ingenuine. And if not ingenuine, they're just maybe not in tune. Or better yet, they're leading with ego. And where's ego taking us? Let's look around. Come on now. You know what I mean? So that being said, it's very interesting. Here at Beyond Coincidence, we like to say our two mottos: love is free, acceptance is peace. No matter where you may find yourself, no thoughts, no worries, drop it like it's hot, acceptance is peace. And it's a beautiful thing. If we could just stop where we are in our tracks globally, all almost 8 billion of us, if we could just pause for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 3 seconds, and just take one breath, inhale positive through our nose, hold it in our lungs for 5-6 seconds, and slowly open our jaw, relax any tension, and exhale that hot, negative, stale air out. Nothing else matters. To truly be present in this moment, if we collectively could take one breath together, the world would be a much more peaceful place. We here at Beyond Coincidence, we like to see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. So truly, in this time of oversaturation, especially online, right, we find ourselves in a virtual reality, IG, instant gratification, overstimulation, oversaturated with fake news, real news, everything in between. We truly like to guard our intake of content across all platforms to maintain our pure thought, creativity, and innovation, to not be selfish with it, but to help others. We certainly admire you, Johnny, and respect all that you have gone through, all that you've overcome. And now, in the phase of giving back and, you know, being in the starting lineup, right? Actually putting your insights, wisdom, knowledge, experience to service for the greater good and helping others. We certainly admire that here Beyond Coincidence. And that's what we're all about. Like we say, we are a global healing platform. No ego here. This is your show. So a beautiful opportunity for you to not only shine your light, but amplify your message as we collectively come together today. I like to say, we as humans were born alone, we die alone, but we love to complicate the in-between. So again, this is really just a beautiful opportunity to go inside, to reflect, to simplify life and get back to the basics. And you may ask, what is that? Or what is healing, right? I get that all the time. Or how do you meditate? And it's not some structured online course you have to take, or some used car salesman coach you have to follow. There is no perfect recipe, ABC 123. It's not about rituals. Everyone's different, and whatever works for you works for you.
I love your style, man. There's a lot of wisdom that comes through.
So I kind of want to talk about presence, Johnny. I mean, you talk so much about kind of the foundations and building presence. What would like the first day look like with you if we were complete beginners and we were walking into your realm? What would that look like?
Well, the first would be a meeting in presence. Sometimes in retreats, I'll make these little booklets, and they're called embodiment booklets. And so it's just kind of like a body outline. And then we give a blue pen and a red pen. And then the red pen, people get the chance to kind of scan their body and color in any place where they feel tension or stagnation. And then they use the blue pen and color in anywhere where they feel aliveness. And what's really cool, we usually do 4-day events, and what's really cool is they can flip from the beginning into the end, and they see often, yes, most of the time their energy was just kind of in mind and concept. And then they see over the course of the thing, like, wow, the whole body is colored in blue. You know, Eckhart has a couple of different doorways to presence. One is the breath, one is sensing the body, one is kind of silence. Of course, you can listen to transmissions of teachers, live transmissions, videos, read books. But I think that if we think that presence is only a concept, we're going to kind of get stuck in a dead end alley. Because, like, imagine that you actually were to feel in the deepest of presence, that you feel everything that's arising inside of awareness as part of the body. So the sense of the skin and the sense of me relaxes, and then there's this pervasive expanse of presence. It's still deeply embodied, so you could feel the ground, you could feel the breath, but then everything is seamless.
You do about 2 hours morning practice.
Yeah.
Good Lord. So is that a mixture? I think you said it was a combination of Qigong and breath work and
meditation. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, that's like, we're looking at 15 years now. So of almost daily. So it's definitely something that's gotten pieces added to it in the past, or like over time. You know, I think sometimes we'll have clients like start with 5 minutes a day of meditation, just building the habit of consistency. Because, you know, I think when you, something like this not only sets the tone for your whole day, but over time, it really kind of, you know, at a certain point, we realize we come from unconsciousness into learning and taking in information and podcasts and books and like this. But at a certain point, we realize the human game is the human experience is an embodiment game. And only that which is transmitted and can be felt in our experience or presence, or we can kind of apply and do in the world, like, that's what matters. That's the difference between embodiment and conceptualization. So I think building the embodied skill of consistency and having some consistent practice. I agree with what Taylor said, like, there's no right or wrong way, and there's all kinds of different traditions from around the world. Mm-hmm. And that said, it is important to do something, because the evolutionary process is a great stream, and there's a certain current that each soul has the trajectory to evolve. Life is supporting the evolution of each soul. And there's a certain pace or rate of that current. Now, we can resist and kind of grab onto the side and, you know, get like stay stuck in patterns and sabotage, or we can kind of start to paddle with the current. So, you know, I think that's important, that it's at a certain point people realize that they're in, as part of this evolutionary process, and then they sort of like, they in a way find what helps to support that, like paddle with it a little bit.
I love that response and really wisdom that you shared with us, Johnny. And I feel that so often, whether it be individuals I coach or mentor, friends, family, we so often get stuck in our head, right? Good, bad, or indifferent. Not just negative thought patterns, but what I like to call analysis paralysis, mm-hmm. right? We expend energy simply in thought. For example, I'm going to think about doing chores, right? I'm going to think about doing the dishes. I'm going to think about doing the laundry. And you literally expend energy in your mind to the point where you can trick your body. The mind can trick the body to feel a sense of completion, or feel that task ABC has already been completed to the extent of 1, 2, 3 on this particular day and time. So I feel that our mind, while a beautiful instrument, if fine-tuned properly and maintained through meditation, through self-reflection, through reading, through mentorship.
Yeah.
Side note, I personally believe writing is greater than reading, giving is greater than consuming, especially in our oversaturated environment we find ourselves in today here in 2020. But that being said, while our mind is a beautiful instrument, it can so often be our worst enemy and counterproductive to our ultimate goals and dreams, right? So that's where not only analysis paralysis, but you take it a step further and self-doubt or irrational fears can really limit upside potential, no matter if it's a small task around the house or if it's a major dream to change the world, whether it be micro or macro. The self-doubt and these irrational fears that we create in our minds,
yeah,
a lot of times based on irrelevant, joy-killing comparisons, right? Everyone's different. No one is you. And I really encourage people to step into your individualism, step into your unique being.
Yeah.
We are infinite, boundless energy sources. We are receivers and givers. And I'm learning every single day, truly learning through sharing, growing through healing myself and others. And as you mentioned, the most important piece is to at least take a step forward, baby steps. And yes, there are going to be good days and bad days, two steps forward, one step back, but any progress is better than treading water, stagnation, right? Or worse, regression.
Mm.
So let's deep dive into the world of Johnny and some actionable best practices that we can help not only ourselves here today, but help the community, our audience, our listeners, our followers, and our lovers, where we can provide actionable best practices, at least some baby steps, right? There is no perfect ritual. There is no, or should be no, structured, rigid ritual for anything. But what are some just minor best practices that we can help our listeners, our audience, with meditation, with improving quality of life, with reducing stress, with stepping out of the past? So if we are stressing, we are holding on to the past. If we are anxious, we are concerned about the future. How can we help our listeners implement some actionable best practices, just at least some baby steps, to step into the now and remain more present in each and every passing moment?
Yeah. So I think baby steps is important. And I think it's important to build momentum and consistency. So like, Frankly, five minutes of meditation a day won't give much access to presence. But if I can focus on building that as a regular thing, and then that becomes a ritual, that's my time for myself, my time for my connection to something greater. Then over time, as I, like, that's a regular thing that I'm doing every day, and then I start to extend that, then now we're starting to get into kind of doses that are actually like really affecting my brain and physiology and kind of my energetics in a way that are transforming my presence in my life. So step one is, I think, carving out, like Tony Robbins calls it, the hour of power, right? Some people, that's too much to start, but like even carving out 30 to 60 minutes in the morning, that is for you. And so that would include like staying off your phone. And that could include some time for journal. Like there's no right practice, right? It's journaling, reflection, meditation, doing some movement, some walking, some stretching, some movement, breath. And those are kind of like some basic foundational practices.
Bingo. That's perfect. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And again, we all do things a little bit differently. So I like to say, especially Chris and I, offline, behind the scenes, iron sharpens iron. And there is no finish line. There are no comparisons because there is no other Taylor. There is no other Chris. There is no other Johnny. And we need to really step into our unique beings and maximize our potential.
I definitely agree with this. However, like when I'm working with clients, then I'll ask them, is your higher self pleased with the way that you're moving your body and exercise? So while we don't want to compare Taylor to another person, I can be more or less out of integrity with my lifestyle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our only competition is ourself.
Right.
And I love that imagery that you shared with us. At the end of the day, you know, you're going to be the one who makes your bed. You're going to be the one who's having to sleep at night, right? So are you comfortable? Are you satisfied with what you accomplished today? Yesterday's gone. It doesn't matter. The past does not exist, right? We all have different memories, recollections, regurgitations at the exact same event. So the past is irrelevant. Yes, it helps shape who and where we are today. But you got to drop it like it's hot. The past does not matter, does not exist. Tomorrow's never promised. Did you give your all today? And yes, there are going to be good days and bad days. Like I say, two steps forward, one step back. But if we can maintain some level of consistency with being present, whether it be those actionable best steps that we talk about, meditation. And you ask, how do I meditate? Just no thoughts, no worries. The most pure form of meditation is no thought at all. Simply breathe and be present with each and every inhale and exhale.
So I definitely agree with you. And I find with some practice, like it's super easy to get to that state. But in the beginning, a lot of people have most of their energy and attention in their head. And so their mind is so busy. And that's how I started. The first time I met, it was like, shit, something must be wrong with me. Like, this is, I thought you were supposed to be quiet. This is like constant fucking chatter. So I think it's important to normalize it and not say that's normal. The latest research on mindfulness is the more that we can feel and sense our body, the quieter our mental activity is. So in retreats, we do really have people even patting down your body, right? And then shaking for 30 seconds. So taking 60 seconds, waking up your skin receptors, increasing circulation, increasing chi flow, and shaking like that. If the person does that for 1 minute before they sit, it'll be a deeper sit. Secondly, opening their breath, because the breath is the gateway to the subtle energetic system. And the more that we have just energy here, it's going to kind of like be like bouncing around in there. But when it can actually, when the channels, the meridians and the chakra systems open, then the chi can really circulate. And it's so much easier to sit. But to honor you, like in your style, Taylor, like we have people do experiments. Okay. Like, let's see what you just start sitting with doing nothing before. See how that was. Then they dialogue about it. Okay. Now let's have you do a body pat down and then sit. Okay. Let's have you do a body pat down and a Wim Hof and sit. And then they get to talk about it. And it's not like an authoritarian rigid, like this is the one right way. It's actually respecting their autonomy. But that's not to disown that there aren't certain like similar hard rail structures in the human.
Spot on. Beautifully stated. Could not have said it better myself. I love your wealth of knowledge as it relates to different styles, right? Different modalities. There is no right or wrong, but let's kind of try out
right.
A little bit different routine or a different type of meditation. And I think we so often, especially starting out, as you had mentioned, we'll tiptoe into the spiritual realm of meditation, whether it be, you know, isolating the mind, whether it be moving, yoga. But we so often are running 100 miles an hour in 100 different directions. We fail to pause, again, remain present, but just glance back at that practice we just performed or executed to evaluate how that meditation, that yoga class, that breathwork exercise, we often fail to pause, at least for a moment, to reflect in a state of love on how that meditation, that 5 minutes, that 30 minutes, that 60, 90 minute session, how did that make us feel? And how do we feel now? And what could we change about that to create a better tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's easy to get stuck with the inner critic and shame. It takes some kind of skill here, because you know, you talk about not comparing to others. Because I think what happens when we tend to compare to others, then it's easy to kind of compare and then come back and criticize myself and feel shame. And you know, that's not serving. So the first step in this process is to say like, no, let others be, like me do me. And then like start to do journaling or kind of communication with the higher self, like what's mine to do, what's in the highest good, what are my highest objectives. So that's step one. But then eventually I think it's actually really useful to compare to others, because the more that my heart's open, I can actually appreciate their uniqueness and the particular gifts and soul mission that they have. And then I can say, what's my version of that, right? Or I can say, I can allow that to inspire me to be my best self. It's not collapsing into shame, but it's actually inspiration. Or the third thing, and I used to do this, like I would just start watching people, like fuck, that guy's really grounded. Like, oh, this is how he stands. Oh, and imagining I'm like really getting his world. Like, what's it feel like inside of him? Like, wow, it's his feet are so solidly planted. It's almost like he bends his knees and they're a little bit wider. Like, oh, let me try that. Oh, that's what that feels like. Almost like a tennis coach, like modeling it and embodying. And then I copied that. So I do think there's a virtue to comparing yourself when you can do it for appreciating their uniqueness, inspiring it to be my best self, and then using it to find how does that quality live in me and how do I embody that and grow that skill.
I love that. And you know, you qualify what I say, right? Comparisons being irrelevant, joy killers. Well, let's at least face it, right? Let's not suppress it, let's address it. It's human nature to compare. So if we're going to compare, let's at least acknowledge one another in a healthy way, self-reflect, and try to improve ourselves based upon positivity and love from others. Love that.
Creating this book in my head of questions. And I want to ask you about your book, Eternal Rising. Tell us a little bit about your book, but more so just like, what is the, where the energy come from or for, hey, I want to create a book. I want to write a book about rising one's awareness.
Well, first, this is a great question. So first of all, I would say it's a real honor, I feel, to be alive during this time. Commonly throughout most of history, like there wasn't much capacity for travel or awareness of other culture. And, you know, you'd probably like, let's say you live in a farm in China and you never leave 10 square kilometers, right? Like, So we are alive in a really special time in history, not only in terms of access to information and cultures, but also like there's a lot of evolutionary upheaval, which I'm excited about because to me, this is helping to usher us into the next epoch and the evolution of humanity. I personally feel like my sole mission is to participate in that and help be one of many stewards that help to usher in, you know, the betterment, beautification, and evolution of humanity.
That's beautiful. So as far as you and you writing your book, do you have a group of individuals that are kind of part of your team, or is it just you solo?
I have a couple of staff, but I still do a lot. So this is my second book, and neither of them I said, oh, I'm going to write a book. Like, it just, the writing just started coming out. And then when enough of the writing came out, then there was a sense of like, okay, put this into a book. And like I said, I was doing a lot of practice at the beginning of the quarantine, and then I just was so inspired, and it was just like streaming out these inspired writings. And a lot of it was in the vein of humanity evolving. And so there are sections on the evolving masculine, and there's sections on the evolving feminine, and there's sections on evolutionary love and really deepening in partnership. And there's sections on being stewards of the coming age, and there's sections on living deeply. And, you know, it touches into healing and being an embodied human being in the world and our authenticity and vulnerability, as well as touching, it like inspires us and challenges us to use our life for good and approach our best selves and expand our awareness beyond just our own skin encapsulated egos to be able to open and feel part of the like this seamless aliveness that's living through us all.
So quick question, is your book going to be on Audible, or can I find it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon, yeah. It was published April 30th, working on an audio version.
Awesome.
Yeah, Johnny. So again, you know, we definitely admire you here at Beyond Coincidence, respect really your personal transformation, right? Where you were, where you are today. And I know that you have envisioned a beautiful future, and I see it as well. A lot of people here in 2020, again, they assess this year as doom and gloom, but it's really refreshing to cross paths, to be on the same wavelength, and to refuse to sink, right? To have that resiliency, to never suppress it, address it, push through it. And more importantly, we say, take steps forward. More important than onward is upward. Yeah. To really address it, walk through it.
Yeah.
But climb that mountain and overcome it. So talk about maybe your first book, how that was different from, you know, your new publication, Eternal Rising.
I'm really inspired and honored to be alive during this time where I feel like we're helping to usher in the next epoch. And, you know, I think there are always spiritual lessons. And I think a lot of us are having the opportunity to practice our critical thinking and our open-mindedness and our discernment, because there's a lot of duplicity and misinformation around, and it's easy for people to get overwhelmed. And if that's you and you're full in your life, like, that's totally cool. And I would say the real challenge is to, like, look more deeply, look more clearly, be discerning. It's 2020. For example, and I don't want to get into this too much, but I would say, you know, a lot of people say, stay safe, you know, and on one level you're saying, wow, this is caring, right? But a lot of times underneath that, there's actually a lot of unacknowledged fear and confusion. And so, like, that's fine. People can wish whatever they want. But, like, I personally am wishing to myself, stay clear, stay strong, stay fucking sovereign.
Yes.
Like, stay in being of service, stay yes. showing up, stay compassionate, stay, like, joyful and wide open. And that, like, we're walking emissaries helping to really steward this transition for humanity.
I love that response. Again, we're skimming the surface of so many powerful topics. And the thing is, I love your reference to be mindful. Remove negative connotation words from your vocabulary altogether. And it's these words, they don't carry malice, but you're exactly right. The common denominator theme to a lot of our interpersonal communication today, where we find ourselves here in 2020, is up against humans living in a state of fear. So Johnny, you and I, Chris, collectively, my passion and goal is to shift our global society, almost 8 billion of us, to shift us from living in a state of fear to living in a state of love. And that can only be achieved through full acceptance without exception, right? Acceptance is peace. And respect and gratitude for one another. And to really simplify it, Johnny, I love the gratitude that you share with us, but internally as well, to give thanks for having the blessing of life today, each and every breath. How blessed are we? You know what I mean? And again, so many people view 2020 as this doom and gloom, end of the world, apocalyptic doomsday nonsense. And dude, you and I both know it's an inner battle. It's not about the outside. It's about flushing the toxins. It's about elevating your state of consciousness. And it's about being healthy from the inside out, but also holistically with what we nourish our body with, and just being mindful and improving our human experience existence. Yes. And boosting our immune systems.
Yeah.
Through thought, meditation, supplementation.
Yeah.
All the above. I just love the gratitude that you share with us. And again, you said the most humble statement I've heard since we've launched Beyond Coincidence is that, bro, guys, I'm not here to pitch a book. I'm not here as a used car salesman forced to go online and sell these different things. That right there was the most humble statement I've heard. And I respect that more than you know. Because Beyond Coincidence is not about selling things. We are not about selling things, and we're not about selling things for others either. However, we are about leading this global shift transformation from living in a state of fear to living in a state of love collectively, and creating heaven on earth.
Johnny, thank you so much for sharing how you maintain balance through your best practices, lifestyle, and daily routine. We are beyond grateful for your time and energy and wisdom spent today. Congratulations again on your new book, Eternal Rising. What a beautiful thing. We welcome you back at any point on Beyond Coincidence and look forward to continued success as you positively impact so many people's lives around you. Keep on shining that light, brother.